Chapter 25. There are almost 24 Death Watch soldiers waiting at the bottom of the staircase. "Hells," Arla breathes, sliding back around the corner and pressing herself up against the wall. From here, the only visible part of the force below them is flickering shadows on the stairs, but the murmur of voices and the creak of armor is clear, contained within a stone room and echoing up the steps. Django grimaces in agreement, checking his HUD with a tap against his Vambrace. "No way three of us can take that many alone," he says disgustedly, low enough not to catch the attention of anyone below. "Even with a Jedi, and they'd calm for backup the second we tried." Arla's breath is grim, angry. "They're going to calm for backup no matter what we do," she mutters. "John, can you tell if Tor is in the keep?" John hesitates, but he'd gotten a sense of Tor's presence when they encountered him at the last Death Watch base, and then again from the Darksaber. "I don't think so," he says quietly, "but I don't have Master Fae's senses. I could be wrong." Arla taps her fingers against the stone, and John can feel her warring with herself over a decision, the sway between revenge and calculated effort. After a long second, she takes a breath, steels herself, and reaches up, pulls her helmet off, then deliberately unties the tattered golden ribbon from the end of her braid. She wraps it around her wrist instead, vivid against the black and white of her armor, and then ties it off and jams her helmet back on, raises her chin. "Django and I can set off a detonator at the top of the stairs," she says, low. "That should get their attention. Even if they don't all clear out, enough of them should leave and chase us that you can get through, John." John pauses, glancing at Django, but he seems perfectly at ease with this plan, already nodding. "You're good at skulking around the shadows," he tells John. "Just do that while they bolt past." This, John thinks rather dubiously, is not how his infiltrations usually go. "An explosion inside the keep will set off all their alarms," he points out. "All the soldiers from the upper levels will come to investigate as well, and Ursa will be in danger." Arla snorts. "Ursa is our way out," she says. "I'll have her get to the ship and start the engines up. Django and I will distract them with a few detonators, sabotage the keep's aerial defenses, and then, once you have the Darksaber, we'll all get up to the battlements so Ursa can pick us up." It will be easy enough for John to get to the top of the keep, but it's a long way for Django and Arla to manage alone. John hesitates, studying Arla for a second, and then asks quietly, "Is this because of their plans for the children?" Arla doesn't immediately leap to deny it, which is at least reassuring. "Not just because of that," she says after a moment, and meets John's eyes through the dark visor of her helmet. "I'd be happy to stay and carve up all these bastards like the pigs they are, but Jaster needs the Darksaber if the true Mandalorians are going to survive this war. That's what matters the most right now." She means it. She feels it. That edge of fury is still there, but buried under duty and calculation and determination. John nods, accepting her certainty, because he remembers Arla on Gargan's moon, the reckless fury then, and this isn't the same at all. Maybe part of that is Tor's absence, but part of it is simply Arla making a choice. "Be careful," he says, quiet, and Arla snorts, reaching out. She catches John's arm, dragging him in, and thumps their foreheads together lightly, just leaning there for a moment. "You too," she says after a second, and John can see the flicker of her gaze to the golden ribbon, can feel her long, slow inhale. "Jaster needs that damned sword, and I don't want Tor to have it anymore. Get it back." "I will," John promises. "How long should I give you?" Arla casts a glance at Django, and he looks up towards the upper floors, calculating. "If this one's laid out like the other keeps I've been in," he says after a second, "the defenses should be linked to a main control room near the top. If we move fast, we should be able to get there while they're still trying to figure out what the slag happened." Arla grins, all teeth. There's got to be something valuable up here that we can blow up, she says. Maybe we roll a grenade down the stairs, too. That'll get their attention. I've got 9 on me, Django tells her, and Arla huffs and thumps him gently in the ribs. Packing light, little brother, she says, grinning. 14. I think that should be enough. John, go find a place to hide. John looks from one to the other, then decides that since they're perfectly confident in their plan, he should probably trust that they know what they're doing. With a tip of his head, he slides back into the shadows, takes a breath, reaches. Nico's trick at the wedding, a complete veil over his presence that bends the light and leaves him invisible, isn't something John can manage, but in the dark, shadowy stairwell, it doesn't need to be anything close to perfect to work. John breathes and concentrates, and he can feel Arla's jerk of surprise the moment he slips entirely out of view. Hells, she says, but it's delighted this time. I guess Mandalorians call Jedi sneaky, quiet, shadow rat bastards for a reason. John rolls his eyes. Just because we're quiet doesn't mean we're rats, he says. But a Mandalorian knows what quiet is. Arla rolls her eyes, and Django huffs, offended. Keep your mouth shut and let us work, JT, he says pointedly. Arla, Ursa? I'm calming her now, Arla says. We'll toss a grenade from here, then head up and make a mess. John, you'll be able to find us. John doesn't point out that all he has to do is follow the trail of explosions. I think I can figure something out. Arla thumps him in the ribs, too, but after another moment, she says, Ursa's going to use the Shrine's guard as an excuse to head back down now. She says he's willing to help her. I'll calm her again once we have the defenses down. It doesn't feel like anything John should be concerned about, even when he turns his attention in that direction for a long moment. After a second, he nods and says, when you're ready. Arla's smile is perfectly bloodthirsty, full of sharp teeth as she pulls a detonator from her weapons pouch. She tosses it up, catches it, and arms it in one gesture. Time for some fun, she says, and lobs it right down the stairs without hesitation. By the time John slips down the steps into the guard room at the bottom, there are only 4 Death Watch troopers left, a tangle of bodies that they're dragging out of the way. They're cursing, coughing in the thick smoke, and John drops into the space without a single one of them noticing him, then straightens. All the living guards except for these are giving chase, following Django and Arla up through the keep, but John can handle 4 soldiers. He casts a quick glance at the door to the next room, assessing, though it will hardly be difficult to get through no matter what security they have, a shout, startled, furious. A blaster bolt skims past John's cheek as he turns his head, and he flicks his fingers, slams the next one into the ground with a crackle. There's a bare instant of bewildered confusion, and then a rush. A blade, a flurry of blaster bolts, but John draws his lightsaber, twists through the bolts, slams the swordsman back into the wall hard instead of catching her blade on his. The cortosis-edged vibroblade goes clattering away, and one of the men lunges to grab it, but John leaps one of the men with a blaster, flips, lands hard on the man's back as he grabs the blade. A blow takes his head off, and John spins, catching another flurry of bolts as he leaps back. JT, the woman gets out, coughing as she staggers to her feet, and it's a vicious thing, nothing like the fond, teasing way Django and Arla use the word. You have something that belongs to the Order, John says, quiet, and he can feel the sudden, jolting hum of awareness from beyond the door, as heavy as the sudden return of gravity. The darksaber sings, heady and dark and hungry for a Jedi's presence, in a way John has never felt in anything before. And he looks from the woman to the 2 remaining men and cocks his head. Should I assume, he says, soft, that the fact that you're not moving means I should go through you? He can feel the spike of fear, the lurch as one of the men wavers, then curses viciously, lunges. Not towards John, but back towards the bodies, the scattered weapons Arla's grenades left. John reaches out a hand, even as the woman leaps for him, and the weapons whirl away, just out of reach as the man swears, scrambles. Sidestepping the woman, John slips right past her tackle, leaps, gets one foot on the wall and flips over, landing right in front of the door. The second man is already swinging, blaster like a club, but John cuts through it with a flick of his lightsaber, feels a surge of satisfaction, twists to face the first man as a grapple drags the cortosis-edged blade towards him. "Reinforcements," the woman starts. "Go," the man says, and lunges for John, blade swinging. The second is close, too close to dodge, and a punch takes John in the face, makes him stumble a step. He jerks up, lightsaber raising to block, feels a crystalline flare of rage and hopelessness and grief. The green blade shorts out, the man shouts in triumph, and in the same instant, John throws himself back, into intangibility, and straight through the door into the vault. From outside, there's a shout of fury, a thump against the door, but John ignores it, steps forward into the heavy darkness. The Darksaber's song is a beacon, even without light, and John crosses the room with steady steps, reaches out. They're rushing to unlock the door behind him, but it feels like a distant thing, like a bit of background noise as the low, heady hum of the Darksaber rises all around him. There's a sharp edge to it, disbelief and welcome in equal measure, and John reaches out, flicks a hand. Heavy locks on an ornate case click open, and the Darksaber whirls up, drops. John catches it, and the hilt is heavy, substantial in a way that feels more like a vibroblade than a lightsaber. His own crystal, dulled by the cortosis, still sparks in welcome, and the Darksaber's note surges, resonant, grief shattering to give way to relief, elation, hope. A stolen blade, John thinks, and it ignites with barely a thought, burning black and brilliant white in the darkness. A stolen legacy, and it's well past time that it returns home. With a clatter, a creak, the door wrenches open, and a blaster fires. John turns, blocks the shot, and the Darksaber's hum leaps from joy into something ferocious, focused. It blazes, and John lunges, ducks the vibroblade, slams the man up into the stone and flips over him. Lands, drops, spins, and one foot takes the second man out, sends him tumbling down, and John drives the lightsaber through his chest, turns, kicks out. He catches the swordsman in the chest as he tries to lunge, slams him back into the stone, and then takes his head off with a single blow. Turns. Feet. Heavy on the stairs, loud with the clatter of armor and weapons, and John spares one moment to consider staying, then decides that he has no need to. He waits just long enough for the first Mandalorian to see him, then dives back into the vault, hears the shout, and lets the Darksaber hiss out. Presses himself up beside the door as a flood of bodies push through into the room, eager to corner him, then slides back into intangibility and right through the wall. The last trooper is just passing, and John slams the door shut with a thought, checks the lock, then drives the Darksaber through the delicate electronics. With a sharp beep, the door locks, backup systems kicking on. It's the same system that the Firehand gang used when John was investigating their ship, and he checks to make sure that it's what he remembers, the redundant systems automatically sealing the door in such a way that no one can get through it without the master code, and then steps away, ignoring the thumps and shouts from inside. Up above, there's a distant, contained explosion and the sound of blasters firing, and John lengthens his steps, leaps up the stairs, and pauses at the top to judge direction and progress. He gave Arla and Jango enough time that they're almost all the way through the keep, heading for the battlements. He can't tell if that means the air defenses are down, but likely. Arla wouldn't put Ursa in danger. The Darksaber hums in his grip, heavy-edged elation that feels like a battle cry, and John has to take a breath, separate himself from the blade's emotions before he gets tangled up in them. That fierceness from before is still clear, as is the relief. And John brushes a soothing thought across the crystal's consciousness, an edge of reassurance and understanding, a trace of humor, and feels it echo back a sense of ages stretching, endless, and the heavy press of Tor's emotions, thick with avarice. "No more," John tells it, and closes his eyes, concentrates. He saw the top of the keep as he and Ursa were approaching Mandalore the Binder's monument, and it wasn't close, but close enough. A few weeks ago, he might have hesitated to use one of Dark Woman's skills, the memories too tangled, too fraught, but he thinks of Jaster, of Jaster's careful touches, the look in his eyes just before their vows, when he'd cupped John's cheek and leaned into him like all he wanted was to kiss John and never come up for air. Of his confession, low, gentle, of how he couldn't stop looking over at John in the middle of the fight, and how he thought what he saw was incredible. John was always a poor student, when he was with Dark Woman. He could never match her skills. He'd hated using them, with the reminder of her disappointment, her punishment for his repeated failures, her irritation when he flinched or moved away. But, he thinks of Jaster, wraps himself in the warmth of that memory, and lets empty space fold. And this time, it doesn't feel like a lurching, terrifying step into the unknown, but easy. Leaping, knowing he'll be able to catch himself. Knowing he'll be caught. Space parts, and John turns, lightsaber flashing up to block a blaster bolt. The sweep of his hand slams the Death Watch soldier back into the stone, and they drop, unconscious, but no other troopers approach. John gives it another long moment, stretching out his senses, and then turns and triggers the door up onto the battlements, half a second before Arla can. "John?" Arla asks, startled, and looks back down the stairs at Django, who shakes his head. "How the hell did you get up here before us?" "Jedi secrets," John says, grave, and Arla huffs and thumps a fist against his shoulder, though her gaze immediately goes to the darksaber as she steps out into the sunlight. "You got it," she says, and John doesn't have to see her grin to know it's all teeth. "I heard them sending reinforcements. You got out safe." "I locked them all in a vault," John says, clipping the hilt to his belt, and turns, a flicker of instinct like a warning curling across his nerves. He frowns, scanning the battlements, but there's no one else nearby, no one approaching. Django and Arla's distraction left everyone thoroughly distracted, with only minimal Mandalorians on watch, and it should be safe enough. But something's wrong, John says quietly, and takes a step towards the edge of the keep. "Where's Ursa?" Instantly, Django hits a button on his VAM brace, and Arla curses. She crosses the walkway, scanning the air, and says, "She should have gotten to the ship by now, but I don't see her. The air defenses are down, so I don't understand." "She's not answering the comm," Django reports, grim. "You think she went back to Tor?" "No," John says. There was nothing in Ursa that spoke of a double cross, not even in fragments, and he would have noticed. Something happened to her. He drops his gaze from the clouds, scanning the forest, then pauses. There's a ship. A ship that landed right near the monument, sleek and dark and new-looking. It wasn't there when they entered the keep, though, and something prickles uneasily. "Arla," John says, and when she glances over, he tips his chin at the shrine. "That ship, do you know it?" Arla looks, and John can tell the moment she notices it, the sharp stiffening of her whole body, the sudden burn of her emotions into a razor of fury. "Tor," she spits. Django swears, leaning over the edge of the battlements. "Looks like at least 4 men by the size of that ship," he says. "He must have cornered her. Bamp the shit. Arla, he'll kill her." "We have to save her," Arla says, and glances at John. "If we take our jetpacks down, we can carry you between us." John rolls his eyes, gets a hand on the crenellations, and vaults over, kicking hard to give himself room. He plummets, and from behind him there's a sound of disbelief, a whoop, a burn of thrusters. Arla arrows down next to him, and John twists in midair as the ground approaches, multicolored paths growing quickly as they drop towards the shrine, and bleeds momentum hard as Django and Arla come in for a landing. He lands, rolls, rises with one hand on the darksaber's hilt and ready, but the shrine is perfectly quiet. "They must all be inside harassing a teenager, like carking cowards," Django says grimly, straightening from his crouch and drawing his blaster pistols. "Sounds like Tor," Arla confirms, and pulls her rifle forward, settling it against her shoulder. She hesitates, then says, "Clan Shiv had members inside." "Just one." John resettles his hood, then closes his eyes, and five people he doesn't know, Ursa, Hoodoo, and that same sense of filthy, creeping smugness the Darksaber was drenched in. With a grimace, John curls his fingers around the hilt and says quietly, "Ursa and the guard are there, five Death Watch troopers and Tor." Arla's whole body is tense, her attention fixed on the shrine with a vicious sort of intensity. For a long second, she doesn't move, and then she takes a deliberate breath, tips her head in a nod, and says, "Tor is mine. Jango, get Ursa out and get to the ship. Make sure they didn't sabotage it. John, I'll take the troopers," John says simply. Arla bares her teeth. "Good enough to start a fight," she says, and heads for one of the openings in the shrine's walls. John follows, half a step behind her, attention trained on the eight people inside the shrine. It feels like tension and fear and anger, an edge of hatred that cuts, indignation with an undercurrent of righteousness, and he breathes through it, feels the Darksaber hum with a churning wrath that twists, knots itself up. "Peace," John thinks, and presses his thumb to the sleek black hilt just as Arla's boots hit stone. She flips the safety off her blaster, and there's a contained jerk within the shrine, bodies twisting quickly to face her, but she doesn't even spare them a glance. All of her attention is fixed on the man near the center of the building, his armor a desperate echo of Jaster's red and black, as if by copying him, the wearer can copy some bit of the respect Jaster has won. "Tor," Arla says, ignoring the blasters trained on her. "Is this how House Vizsla treats its vassal clans? No wonder half the clans on Mandalore wouldn't spit on you if you were on fire." Ursa, frozen in front of Hoodoo with her hands half raised, catches a breath, and John can feel her flare of relief, disbelief, then fear. "Don't," she starts. "Arla," Tor says, and there's a condescending delight to it, a sneer that pulls at his mouth as he turns to face her. "What an unexpected pleasure. Have you finally decided to come home?" Arla takes one breath, another. Her blaster doesn't waver. "You burned my home to the ground, you bastard," she says, vicious, poisonous. "You murdered my mother and father, and you tortured me. The only thing I want from you is your slagging head." Tor scoffs, and a flick of his gaze takes John in, lingers. "Don't take that tone with me. Everything worthwhile that you know is something I taught you." He pauses, and his smirk is cruel when he says, "I assume this is Jaster's new husband. His Jedi prisoner, meant to hold the whole order hostage. Are you holding the leash now, Arla? How surprising. I thought you were against taking prisoners of war." Arla scoffs, grip tightening on her blaster. "Let her go, Tor," she growls. "That's your last warning." One of the troopers moves, just faintly. His blaster shifts. John hits him, folded space putting him across the room in a fraction of a second, and the man goes down with a cry. Instantly, John spins, leaps, twists, and he comes down right between Ursa and Tor, kicking Tor's blaster aside. A bolt rebounds off the stone of the central monument, but Arla is already moving, lunging, and Tor throws himself back with a shouted order. John hears it, sweeps the Darksaber up just as four blasters fire, and he redirects the bolts, catches Ursa as she goes to throw herself behind the monument, and shoves her towards where Jango is just arrowing through the door instead. "Go," he says, and Ursa doesn't hesitate, but runs for Jango. He grabs her without pausing, jetpack straining as he hurtles out the door, carrying them both towards the port below. John leaps into the gap, redirects bolts, then spins, grabs for Hoodoo as the guard stumbles, and drags him down behind the monument. "All right," he asks, and Hoodoo nods, wincing as he straightens. It looks like he was beaten, and John can feel the ache in him, the anger. "Just bruised," he says. "I need a calm, my clan." John tosses over his, then vaults the monument, hits an approaching trooper feet first, and slams them down into the ground. Whirls up, cuts right through a blaster before it can fire, and hurls the man into the far wall with a sweep of his hand. There's a cry from close by, Arla, but John doesn't pause, trusts that she can handle herself. Instead, he lets space fold again, appears right behind a woman with a pair of pistols, and wrenches them out of her hands. When she spins, shouting, he catches her armor with the force, braces, and throws. She goes flying out the door, straight into the marsh around the shrine, and John hits the last remaining trooper bodily, leaping on the huge man's back and wrapping an arm around his neck. He struggles, shouting, and John drags him back, kicks his legs out from under him. They go down in a heap, and John slams his head into the stone, leaps to his feet, and pauses. No more troopers. Just Tor, retreating towards the far wall with Arla right in front of him, all bristling rage and hatred. Tor, without any backup, no men to help him, and from the paleness of his face beneath a streak of vivid blood, it's clear he recognizes that, too. I see, Tor spits, vicious, that Jaster's been teaching you how to be a thief. Is this what Clan Fett has been reduced to? Stealing the Darksaber instead of winning it in combat? I defeated all the guards you put on it, John says mildly, and he takes a deliberate step to one side, blocking the doorway Tor is retreating towards. I think that counts for even more than just beating you alone. Arla laughs, sharp, without a trace of humor in it. That's the tradition, she says, as Tor comes to a sharp halt, fury crossing his face. I guess it backfired, didn't it, Vizsla? You were so desperate to keep anyone from challenging you for it that you hid it away, but even you can't say that someone defeating dozens of guards for it was cheating. You're a carking coward. A coward, Tor hisses, even as his hand slides toward his belt, behind his back and out of sight. John tenses, ready, but he doesn't move, trusts that Arla knows Tor's tactics far better than he does. I'm not the one with the blaster on an unarmed man. Put it down and face me like a real Mandalorian, with a sword. Aren't you forgetting? Arla asks, flat. You're the only reason I'm such a good shot, Tor. She pulls the trigger, and the sound of the blaster echoes in the shrine, far louder than the thud of Tor's limp body hitting the stone. End of chapter 25.